Amen.
So what you'll do is you go to the church website and go to I think the tab at the top is media, and go to the audio archive, and it'll be in there. So you can filter it by who the speaker was, which would be me, and it'll pull up all the ones I've taught, and they'll be titled for each week, you know, lesson one or following.
Since
you're planning to not be here. So that'll be up there probably by the end of next week after I teach it on Wednesday, unless Jim doesn't get to put it up by the time Sunday comes around. So, all right. Okay, well, tonight's lesson is on sharing the gospel, and we want to do our diligence to be people who are ready to disciple the believers that God brings our way, whether they're new believers or they have not maybe grown in their life. And one area that a lot of times is one that does not get grown in, or people don't really feel all that comfortable in, is really one of the most basic areas of the Christian life, and that is sharing the gospel. And so lesson 12 is on going and telling the good news. And as always, as you go through these, just always, I explain these things probably a little bit more when I'm standing up and I'm doing things like this. It's hard for me not to be a little bit more maybe preachy or teachy, but when I sit down and do these, I don't necessarily have the same even demeanor. I sat down with the guy that I'll start with probably when we get done with this. We'll start on Wednesday nights. If we can get some people lined up for each one of you, then we'd be that's our goal and what we're driving towards. But I was able to start with him last Thursday, and so I'm excited about getting to do that with him, Jordan. So we're excited and we're working through that. But when I sat down with him, it was certainly a lot different than I would explain here. But as I explain these things, I want to try to impart the heart behind some of it. That's why I don't read through everything like I do when I'm sitting down with them, and you would as well. But at the same time, try to get you just to have the basic gist. But you, as you're listening, try to translate it in your mind to what you would be saying to someone. You are going to be sitting down talking to somebody about how to share the gospel. And for a new believer, that is an area a lot of times that they are a little bit more pre-inclined to do than sometimes those who have maybe grown up in church and they've been around it all the time, and they're maybe not quite as prone just to jump right into it. Sometimes there can even be a little bit of trepidation. But the fact is, we have, and the book kind of presents it this way, the greatest news in all the world. We get to tell people about eternal salvation so that people can know the wonderful message of the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ. And that is such a privilege to be able to do. And we want to help someone to understand. You know, we use terms a lot that people that are new at this, they do not understand. Like already the first blank that it has at the bottom of that first page is, this is called the gospel. The fact that Jesus died to pay for our sins, he rose from the dead, and he delivers or offers forgiveness to all who would trust in him. That's the gospel. And then 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 1 and 3 and 4 defines the gospel. We won't turn there tonight, but it says, I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for your sins according to the scripture. And that's the definition of the gospel. But a new believer may not have, you might say, well, do you know, a good way to say it is like, well, do you know what the word the gospel means? They might be like, I have no idea. Well, it means good news. That's why that's the title of the lesson. Go and tell the good news. And so you're going to be helping them just to get familiar with terms. You're going to be helping them also understand that those terms have a large amount of truth that are packed into them. And that's what you want to help them. So, as you talk to the person, I'm moving on to the next page, you'll just remind them. When they're at this point, certainly you should know that this person is a believer by this point. And if you're still wondering, then just stop what you're doing and just ask them. But this lesson would be a good one to do it in, because you'll go through the gospel itself with them. But by this point, you're going to be talking to somebody, and you can just tell them, hey, think about the person that led you to Christ. Think about how God brought you to Jesus Christ. Wouldn't that be great that God could use you, or if God could use you to do that to someone else, or for someone else? It is a privilege and a responsibility that God has given us. And so we're going to talk about how that is and how God gets the gospel message through us. And you're going to be explaining that to somebody else just in really basic terms. And so that's what we want to talk about tonight. All right. So the first thing, obviously, the key verse at the top is John 3:16. This would be the verse, one verse that they would be working on memorizing at the end of the lesson. But this one actually has a few more to go along with it, because we're at the end of this lesson. We actually want to challenge the disciple to memorize the verses that would go along with the Romans road, basically, but John 3:16, Romans 3:23, Romans 6:23. We want to challenge them to memorize those verses, and we'll say more about that when we get to that section. But as we go, and there's obviously a ton of other ones that you could share, and when I share with them, I try to tie myself down to it, because I could really quickly overwhelm somebody with verse after verse after verse after verse after verse, and really what they need is just that baseline. You can add to that along the way and after the fact, but we want to make sure we don't dump the whole truck on them all at once, okay? So, point number one, as you're looking at it, the first thing you want to explain to them is that we are commanded to spread the gospel. When Jesus came to the earth, his mission was to seek and save the lost. And so what you do in this first little section is I have written off to the side, God's heartbeat. Because what it does here is it says, Jesus came to seek the lost. And then Matthew 9:36 is the verse that says, when Jesus saw the multitude, he was moved with compassion on them. And then it says in Matthew chapter 20, verse 28, but that this was the mission that Jesus Christ came for, and that was to give his life. And so what you do there is you kind of show, this is what Jesus did. We are commanded to share the gospel or to spread the gospel. And the basis of that is the example, and not just the example, but the very heart of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ came to the earth so that people could hear the gospel message. And he would have been God if he stayed in heaven, but he would not have been the Savior and the Redeemer of mankind if he had not come to earth. And so that's just kind of gives a little bit of a platform to show why the gospel is such an important message, because it's so close, obviously, to the heart of God. But there's two parts that you want to talk about here, and what I want to encourage you with is your tendency will be to say everything that the lesson has all in the first point. If you're anything like me, if you're not anything like me, then maybe this will be a little easier for you. But the first point, really the big picture, is to just emphasize that God expects that the gospel message would be spread throughout the world. We're going to get to the personal responsibility of it, but the first thing is, spreading the gospel is the responsibility of the church. Jesus Christ came to this earth, died, rose again, and when he left, he took the gospel message and he gave it to the church. It is the church's, the church is the house that holds the message. Now, we could obviously get into the personal aspect of that, and we will in just a second. So that's why I kind of gave that caveat. But when Jesus was leaving, he entrusted the church with the gospel message to get it to the whole world. And this would be a great time to take them to Matthew chapter 28, that's why it's right there in your book, verses 18 through 20, and tell them what the Great Commission is. Once again, we use a lot of terms that people don't necessarily understand, and you might say, are you sure? When I was discipling, and he certainly wouldn't mind me saying this, but I was discipling Jordan just the other night on Thursday night, so I'll have our second meeting tomorrow night, and no, I did not get through the whole first lesson in one night. So when I was talking to him, I was saying something, and I told him, and I try to emphasize a lot, ask as many questions as you want. Stop me if you need. I told him, I said, I have a 5-year-old and a 3-year-old. So he may not have liked this comparison. I said, I have a 5-year-old and a 3-year-old, and I am used to being interrupted. I mean, they interrupt me all the time. So just feel free to interrupt. I won't get offended, right? I mean, your guys are a little older now, but Abram, I'm sure, he's just all the time. As soon as you start to say something, and you know, they interrupt. So I said, Jordan, just interrupt me whenever you want. And he did that. And he stopped me and he said, you know, I don't remember what the area was on, but he asked me a question, and I was really glad for it because it really opened up the door for us to share a truth that we were basically about to cover in the book. But it was in a way that resonated with him because it was his question. And so when I did that, though, I realized, whoa, I've used that expression, whatever it was that sparked his question, numerous times in Sunday school. And Jordan sits there in our Sunday school class week after week after week after week, hearing me say it every once in a while, having no idea what it meant. People don't understand all these terms. So the Great Commission, pastor will say, the Great Commission, we got to follow, we want to be a Great Commission church. And this new believer's thinking, what are you talking about? You know, like Great Commission, is there, do you get money if you go to soul winning? You know, that's what most people think when they think commission, right? I mean, I get commissioned. We got a Great Commission here at the church, you know? And so, no, that's not what it is. So you want to tell them, Matthew chapter 28, the commission that God has given to us, and it was given to the church in its infancy. The disciples were entrusted with that when Jesus gave that message. But it's important that that we realize that they were the church in its infancy, that they were being trusted with that message. And so God chose the church as the vehicle to get the gospel to the world. He could have chosen the family, he could have chosen government, he could have chosen some other group, but he chose the church. And so that's the basis of that command to spread the gospel. But spreading the gospel is accomplished through soul winning and missions, or personal evangelism, call it what you want, but sharing the gospel from one person to the other. The spreading of the gospel is accomplished in that way. So we're commanded, we have this responsibility, and this is how we do it. And so what the book actually does here, I think, is a great way just to kind of break it apart, is it defines those two things. Now, we don't use the term soul winning probably as much as maybe even as some other churches do, or some groups have done in the past. It's still a term that I frequently use. But when we share the gospel personally, sometimes we call that soul winning. And you can explain that to the book to them. But what I love about this is it gives you an opportunity to break the Great Commission into its two primary means of fulfillment. You say, what do you mean? Well, Acts chapter 1, verse number 8, it's a verse that we often emphasize at the first part of it. It says, ye shall receive power. After that, the Holy Ghost will come upon you. We talk about the power that's going to accompany us. But what's important here is to show them that they are to be, number one, witnesses. And number two, you're supposed to be witnesses here, there, and everywhere. And that's kind of the gist of that verse. But when you think about getting the gospel out, and when you're talking to them about getting the gospel out, what you want to emphasize is this. The gospel is either going to get out right here through us, aka you, or it has to get out to everybody else too. That's soul winning and missions. Because missions is, because we'll say that, oh, we're a missions-minded church. Once again, another term that a new believer may be like, I don't even know. And then we talk about the missions program. We talk about missionaries. And they might say, I don't really understand what that is. You just say, well, missions is us helping someone go somewhere else to get the gospel out there. I mean, it's all about getting the gospel out. It's just here, we don't necessarily call it missions because it helps us differentiate. But missions is just them doing there what we do here. And so we talk about soul winning, which is personal evangelism, trying to share the gospel here as a church, as an individual, or missions, getting the gospel to places that we are not. And those are the two primary categories or breakdowns of getting the gospel out, here and there and everywhere in between. And so it just kind of helps you to get an opportunity to explain some terms, explain some ways that the church functions. Because if they've been coming to the church for 12 weeks, even if you got to lesson number 12 in 12 weeks, they've certainly encountered at that point some of these expressions, and most likely they would already kind of have a backlog of what they think that might mean. But you have an opportunity to say, hey, when Brother Daniel gets up there and he mentions the outreach breakfasts, this is what he's talking about. We're going out into our community trying to get the gospel out. When Pastor talks about talking to your coworker about sharing the gospel, that's That's all in the category of soul winning or outreach or evangelism. And then missions is really just us enabling people to do that somewhere else that we're not. And so that's kind of would help them to understand. And make sure you bring that back to the Word of God and say, you know, all throughout the book of Acts in the Bible, you can say your Bible has the book of Acts in it. And if they don't know even that much, the Bible has the book of Acts in it. And the book of Acts is the record of the early church doing exactly what we're supposed to be doing today. And if you read that, and I'd encourage you to read that, this would be you talking to them. You would be amazed at just the normal, ordinary people that God used to get the gospel to other people, because that's God's model. And so you're just trying to introduce them to the concepts in that first point. But I wanted to make that clear. Number two, we are instructed to witness. So you say, well, what's the difference there? Well, it's hard to differentiate, but we're commanded to spread the gospel, but we are personally instructed to witness. Spreading the gospel is not just the church's job. You know, a lot of people hide behind the church and they don't do a whole lot. You are aware of that, right? There's a lot of people, I heard it said a lot of times, people don't say it as much anymore, but, 90% of the work is done by 10% of the people, and 10% of the people do, 90% of the work, or vice versa, or the alternative, 90% of the people are doing nothing, and or very, very, very little, 10% of things. And so, well, that's obviously just a loose breakdown, but a lot of people do that. They're just like, well, I'm glad to be part of a gospel-oriented church because a pastor preaches the gospel, but they never share the gospel. And they never get involved, and we want to challenge a new believer not to be that way. I've heard it said, I came here and my desire was to be a church planter, but God has kind of reworked our heart, and we're super excited about that. We're glad to be here. But I've often heard it said when I was in college, the people would say, well, you're going to go start a church, you're going to take a church, and the kind of the terminology people would use. And sometimes people would say, well, sometimes it's easier to birth a baby than it is to raise the dead. Well, actually, it's always easier to birth a baby than it is to raise the dead, because the dead, they don't. And so, but what they were saying is sometimes it's hard to go to a church that doesn't do anything. And everybody's like just kind of set in their ways. They're not going to, you could not shake them if you could plan an earthquake at the church, sometimes there are people that they're just so set in their ways, they may never change. And we're thankful for people who are faithful and set in faithful ways. But people are supposed to share the gospel. So if you've got a new believer, just drill it in. Because if that can become part of their spiritual DNA early, God can use them for years to reach people. And what a wonderful thing that would be. So you're going to emphasize here, God wants them, your disciple, to share the gospel. This is your opportunity to say, hey, God wants to use you to get the gospel to somebody else. And these are some things you need to know. And so the first thing you need to know is the gospel and how to share it. And so what you're going to do in this next little part is you're just going to give them the basic truths of the gospel. And it gives the five. We're going to go over them here real quick. You're going to challenge them to memorize them. At the end, you can present them like you would present them to a lost person, or you can take a little bit different route. But this is what I want you to emphasize, or I would encourage you to emphasize when you teach about this portion. One, this is not all there is to know about the gospel. This is just all you have to know in order to get the gospel out to somebody else. And as you go through it, what you want to try to help them understand is them learning it is kind of the start to ever actually sharing it. That's kind of the point here. If you're going to do it, you have to know it. You never will spontaneously just tell somebody something you don't know. I mean, really don't know. I mean, we may all be able to come up with some elaborate answer if somebody asks us a question and we just kind of fluff our way through it and we happen to get it right. That's not what I'm talking about. If somebody does not know the information, they cannot pass the information along to somebody else. I'm working on getting my CDL, and I'm reading through the CDL manual, and I've got to take a test or several tests to get my permit. But I thought about just start taking practice tests to see how I do. I haven't even finished the book yet. And there is definitely going to be some things that if I took a test right now, I would not get it right unless I just totally guessed and it was a multiple choice and I just happened to get it right. We've got to put it in first. And so you want to explain it to him. Hey, what you're going to do here is we're just going to work on explaining some and memorizing some of the basic truths. So if somebody asks you, why are you a Christian? You can go through and you can share some things. Or if somebody says, how do you become a Christian? Or, you know, I grew up in church, so I must be a Christian. Whatever they might be confronted with, these would be the basic bedrock truths. And maybe start with asking, hey, if you knew somebody and you wanted to share the gospel with them, would you even know what to say? And they may be like, I'd have no idea. A good response to that would be like, well, what did somebody tell you when you got saved? Because that's going to be the most personal memory that they have, and that would be greatly helpful. But so what you're going to do is you're going to share these five things with them. First, God loves you, right? So we all know that, but you want to encourage them. Found their gospel presentation on the love of God that sent Jesus to the earth. We live, Brother Galley, you were saying before we started, you want to give biblical answers to people as you're down there at the Amazing Grace booth and sharing the gospel with people. You know, we live in a world of people who they don't know who to trust. They don't know which way is up sometimes. There are people that are hurt, that are broken, because we all started that way anyways. And one of the most precious things you can ever tell somebody is that God loves them. Oh, sometimes it goes over our head. I think most of the time it goes over our head. And even when we tell people it, sometimes it goes over their head. But sometimes you can sense that's exactly what they needed here. Start there, because it helps give you the direction. I love to say, when you love someone, you tell them the truth. And God loves us, and so he told us the truth. And that is that everyone's a sinner. You know, if somebody you love is doing something wrong that's going to hurt them, you're going to warn them. Well, God loves you. God loves everybody. And so you're trying to help them through this. And you're going to say, so God told everybody that they're sinners. Not because he hates them, but because he loves them. And he wants to help fix that. But they have to understand, first of all, the Bible says everybody's a sinner. That's what it gives you right there. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And all of you know these verses well enough. I don't need to spend a lot of time explaining each one of them. But you want to make sure you do. You want to make sure you break these verses down so that they understand what that means, what sin is, coming short of the glory of God, that everybody is a sinner. Think about those things. And that's why it's important to read through these before you meet with someone, because otherwise you could not go maybe as thoroughly through this as you would have intended to if you had just looked at it. So everyone is a sinner. Sin has a price that must be paid. And that is, as it says in Romans chapter 6, verse 23, the wages of sin is death. And a lot of times I like to stop right there, don't even read the rest of the verse, and to talk to them about death and about what biblical death actually implies and what that would mean for someone. And so you're trying to explain to your new believer, your disciple, that they are going to be explaining this to somebody else. And you want to make it plain to them. Most of the time, less is more, but at the same time, you don't want to just be like, man, if you just go out and you just say these verses, you know, if you just quote these five verses and these five facts to somebody, that they'll just, you know, respond in the right way. But you want to make sure that they are prepared to explain these verses. And so make sure you take the time to explain that sin has a price that must be paid, but that Jesus Christ died to pay the price. And so Romans chapter 5 verse 8 is the verse that they've given here. And that is such a great, short, and concise verse. God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And what a great expression. I love 2 Corinthians chapter 5 verse 21 that explains Jesus became sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. And a lot of times I'll share that one because that's one that I really like to use as well. It helps people understand that Jesus Christ died But make sure I would encourage, emphasize that he did not have to die. And that's the important principle that they need to get. Because if you just say, well, Jesus died, well, if somebody doesn't know anything about Jesus, then that doesn't really mean a whole lot. But if you can help your disciple to understand that you want to get that person ready to by explaining to them that God in the flesh, that's what John 3:16 also helps us with, God in the flesh, Jesus, the only begotten Son of God. See, John 3:16 is not just about the love of God. It's about God in the flesh, then later on, dying for us. And so we're emphasizing, we're explaining the basic truths of the gospel. Then that they can ask and they can encourage someone to ask Jesus to be their Savior. And the book references Romans chapter 10, verse 13. I want to encourage you to put Romans chapter 10, verses 9 and 10, Romans chapter 10, verses 9 and 10 as well. And this is why. And I certainly don't criticize the book. I know the guys who wrote it, and they would use these verses just as readily. But the book is already long enough. They probably didn't want it to be too much longer, okay? So they could put 1,000 verses in here if they wanted to. But I emphasize the importance of those verses, and this is why. They mention the resurrection. I've heard people, I have done it myself, present the entire gospel message and never mention the fact that Jesus rose from the dead. We put a lot of emphasis on the death. He died for our sins. And that's true and is an essential aspect. The substitutionary atonement of Christ for us is obviously central. But they talk that those verses talk about what it's saying in those verses is that we ought to confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in our hearts that God hath raised him from the dead. If you do that, then you will be saved. And so that's why I emphasize the importance of sharing those verses, because what that does is it gives you the open opportunity to say Jesus died and he rose. Jesus is no longer dead. And you say, well, everybody knows that. Not everybody knows. I have said that to people before. And their eyes get a little bigger, their jaw drops a little bit, and they think, he's not dead? Because they know about the crucifixion a lot of times. But they don't always connect the resurrection. And you want to make sure you do that. Because without the resurrection, 1 Corinthians 15 tells us, we are of all men most miserable. So we need the resurrection. We need to make sure that when we're presenting the gospel, we're actually presenting the gospel, and we're not leaving out like the keystone of the arch. Okay. And so I hope that makes sense and doesn't overly convolute it. But you want to make sure you're doing that. These streamlined points, the book tells us, are the main truths of the gospel. If you learn this outline, you'll tell your disciple and the verses that go with it, you will be well on your way to being able to tell others about Jesus Christ. Notice that they were even careful to say, it does not necessarily mean you're ready. It just means you're more ready because you know the basic truths, and it can really help them to get a lot closer to sharing the gospel. But I want to encourage you, soul winning, evangelism, whatever word you prefer to use, outreach, I didn't put the last one up, is better caught than taught. And so this is what I want to encourage you to do. On this lesson, invite them to go with you sometime, because they will get a chance to hear you explain it and then see you. And when I say go with you, I mean, you might say, well, I don't even regularly get to go myself. When you get to this lesson, regularly go for like 2 weeks and just take them. And you could work it into your schedule, say, hey, I'd love to go with you and let's just see what God could do. And we'll go talk to Brother Daniel. We'll get some maps and we'll just go knock on some doors and try to tell people about Jesus. And that is a great way. And you say, well, you mentioned maps and stuff like that. I don't think going door to door is probably the most effective way to get into the lives and hearts of people. Maybe like it even used to be, but I still think it's a great way, and there's a lot of reasons. I won't necessarily explain them all right now, but I'll tell you this much. There are people you will meet if you go to their door that you would never have met anywhere else. And then also, organized door-to-door evangelism does one thing for you. It gives you a lot of opportunities. And don't take this the wrong way, but to practice. I learned to share the gospel in the spontaneous moments because I practiced sharing the gospel in the organized ones. I am more ready to drop everything I'm doing in a random conversation with somebody and share the gospel with them because I have gone to thousands of doors and tried to share the gospel there, if they would let me or if they would not. And so I love door-to-door because we get to go to people. That's the primary reason. I love door-to-door because it's great practice and it gets you ready. Where else are you ever actually going to get to learn if you don't put yourself in those situations? And door-to-door is just one venue. You just take some tracks and go to the mall and try it. It doesn't matter to me, but just putting yourself in those specific moments that you're going to get, more likely get those opportunities. And so that's why, a big reason why I like it, and I would encourage you to get involved in it. We'll have an outreach breakfast, not the full-blown one, but this Saturday. We'd love, obviously, all of you to be there. But when we're when you're up and running with a disciple and we have announced one of those, say, hey, we have one of those coming up this Saturday. Let's go together. We'll get a map and we'll just go. And we'll go. Let's go this week. Let's go next week. Just get them involved in it. And we don't necessarily have an always and forever weekly meeting where we do that stuff. But we would certainly facilitate those things as much as we could to try to get people ready to share the gospel with anybody and everybody they ever get an opportunity to share the gospel with. And so that's a big part of this. Okay, so know the gospel and be prepared and how to share it. Sorry, the next one is be prepared to share your faith. God, 2 Corinthians 5:20, has made us ambassadors of the gospel message. That means that we are God's appointed officers of the gospel message here in this world. And you want to help your disciple to understand, as it says there, as it says in 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 15, the other bold verse right there, that God wants us to always be ready to share the gospel with people. And they might say, well, how in the world can I always be ready to share the gospel with people? There's some practical tips, but I want to give you a practical tip before we get to the book's practical tips, and that is this. Tell them to tell their story. Just share how they came to Christ. This is they can tell their testimony, but then I would say this as well, and I would encourage you to do it, which I imagine most of you do. When you tell your story, put the gospel in. Don't just say, well, I got saved when I was 7. Say, my mom sat me down with a little book called The Eaglet, and she read the book, and it talked about this little baby eagle that went up to the edge of its nest after the mom told it not to, and the wind blew it out of the nest. It disobeyed, and it was going to die. And the daddy eagle came and swooped in and saved it. You say, where in the world are you coming up with this story? My story. The daddy saved it right before it died. And that became the platform illustration for my mom to share how I was a sinner and I disobeyed and I was going to die for my sins, aka I'm doing this much faster than I would if I was sharing with somebody else, the gospel. So put the gospel in your story. I mean, it's already there, but just make sure you don't breeze by it. And when you're telling your disciple, you say, I don't have any idea how in the world I could ever share the gospel with that person at work. I just get so nervous. Just say, hey, just tell them about how you got saved. And when you're doing it, make sure you emphasize those verses that we've learned. And just make sure, and I realized that God loved me. I realized that I was a sinner. And you just put it right in your story. And by the end, you've shared the gospel. And I asked Jesus to save me. Wouldn't you like to do that? I mean, just like that, you can share the gospel with anybody because we all know our story, and we all love to talk about ourselves. And that's not a slam. We just like it, and we are all pretty good at talking about ourselves. Okay, and so that's the way. That was my practical tip, and then here's they have a couple practical tips here for you as well. We're just about done. It says on page 246, carry gospel tracts wherever you go. A great way to be able to share the gospel is just have a track. You know, sometimes you and I, I do better at this sometimes than I do at others. Sometimes I don't have pockets. Sometimes they get destroyed in my pockets. I mean, I don't have a purse, thankfully. And so, I mean, I don't have them like that all the time. But a track is not a replacement for sharing the gospel. But when you don't have time, you can give them a track. So encourage your new believer. Say, hey, look, there's some tracks right there. Grab some before you leave tonight. There's some at that door. There's some at that door. There's not any at that, but there might be soon. And there's some, I mean, almost every door you can walk out of this building, you could grab tracks before you walk out. And so tell them, grab a few tracks. Just keep them with you all the time. And then if you're at a, you know, and a lot of you know this stuff already, but you're telling them that. If you're checking out at the grocery store, just hand a track to the person. And I love RB Ouellette. I was with him and a couple times ago when he was here. Maybe it was somewhere else, and I was with him, and he explained it last time he was here, but I saw him do this before he explained it to the church. He said that a lot of times what he does now is he'll take a track out, and he'll hand it to somebody, and this is how what I've begun to do as well, and say something to the effect of, hey, has anybody told you yet today that God loves you? And that honestly, a lot of times people are like, oh, no. And then he would often say, well, he does. He loves you enough so that he, how he says it, I don't say it exactly what he does, otherwise I'd have that memorized too, but he loves you enough that he sent his son to die for you so he could spend eternity with you. Or he loves you enough that he wants, he told you how you could spend eternity with him or something like that. And this little track right here tells you about that. And I just want to give it to you. Just like that, boom. Now, that person may be like, wow, I'd like to know more about that. They might ask you to talk to him. But most of the time in our busy society, people are glad for an encouraging word and then glad for you to walk away. Okay, and so just do that. You've given that to them. Now, it's like I said, not a replacement for sharing the gospel. If you should have gone further in the conversation and you soothe your conscience, which I have too often done by giving them a track and then you just walked away, then it really wasn't enough. But a lot of times all you can do is give a track. And so encourage them, take tracks, give tracks. And that's a great way to be ready to share the gospel. And then the second one, see every relationship in your life as an opportunity to be God's ambassador. A new believer has a lot of people, most likely, in their life they have lots of people that do not know Jesus Christ personally. Unless they came from a saved family and they were kind of the black sheep of the family or something like that. But a lot of times they work with people, they know people, they've had close friend relationships with people for a long time. And you want to help them reprogram their thinking to how can they get the gospel to them and that see that person's life transformed. And then, as I already kind of hit pretty heavily, schedule a time to go soul winning. Schedule a time to go out. And whatever that would mean, whether that's going door to door or making some visits for a Sunday school class or some follow-up visits maybe for some past visitors or visitors from Vacation Bible School or anything like that is certainly appropriate. So that's the second point and honestly is the heartbeat of the entire lesson. And then we'll just finish up, not that it's really any less important, with this last point. We are enabled by the Holy Spirit. And this is what I mentioned when we were praying for these family members we have that are not saved. And oh, how thankful all of us are that the Spirit of God is at work in them. And we are not responsible to make sure they get saved, that we don't have the power to save them. Now, we have our responsibility, as we've kind of covered already. But oh, how great it is to be reminded that I do not have to accomplish it. The pressure is not on me, nor is it on your disciple. Your disciples are like, man, sometimes people can get saved and they're so burdened and you want to encourage, or they're so afraid, whatever the case may be, and you want to remind them, first of all, the Spirit of God empowers us to share the gospel. That's what Matthew chapter 28, verse 20 says. Lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. Acts chapter 1, verse 8. Ye shall, I mentioned this part earlier, receive power. Tell them, hey, share the gospel with people. And when you do, know this, God works in their heart. Don't get discouraged if they turn you down. Don't get discouraged if it doesn't go as far as you would like. Don't get discouraged because God can take what you said and just gnaw at their heart until the day comes that they call you or they see you again and thinking, hey, I have not been able to stop thinking about what you told me about. Can you tell me more? You know what we call that? The Spirit of God working. And it's great because we know that He's always able to work in their hearts when we're not always able to be present with them. So emphasize that. That's basically that part of it. He gives us power, and I kind of jumped ahead. The Holy Spirit works in hearts. And so those are kind of the two things that you want to encourage them with. God will empower you to go. He will help you in the moment, but then he will help you after the moment by doing the work that you cannot do in the life of the person that you tried to share the gospel with. Okay, then application, you'll cover that with them, and you kind of take that kind of where you will, but it tells you, you know, tell them to begin praying for opportunities to share the gospel, tell them to ask somebody, you, if you would be willing to help them, schedule a regular time to go together, and then practice. And I'd encourage all of you to do this. I do a lot of preaching while I drive when no one else is in the car, and I'm about to preach a message or something sometime, and sometimes I just can't get my thoughts really to come out clearly, and you think you never have, Brother Daniel, but sometimes you just listen to the messages I've preached in my front windshield. They're a lot worse than there, okay? But sometimes you just got to say it to yourself. And so driving, sometimes for me at least, is a great opportunity just to pretend like I'm talking to somebody and just say, hey, and just because it's not embarrassing and no one else is in the car. Now the person next to you, nowadays it's not as awkward, you know, because I could just be on the phone. I could have an earbud in, and it's not as weird if they look over and see me talking to myself, unless I'm like preaching, then it might look a little awkward. But tell them, practice, just pretend like somebody's there. Talk to me. Pretend like I'm lost. Sometimes it's easier for me to pretend that my windshield is lost than it is another person. But just encourage them to practice and to work with them on that. And that'd be a wonderful thing for them to do. All right. Well, that is all that I've got for tonight. And if you have any questions about that, you could ask me afterwards, or I'll tell you right now. Anybody have anything you want to add? I went through it pretty rapid fire. So if you had anything you wanted to add to it or ask, now would be a great time. If not, we'll pray, and then I will once again slip out because I have to go practice another song. So, all right. Okay. Larry, you want to pray for us?
Father, thank you for the opportunity to serve you. Pray first of all that you'll prepare our hearts. But then, Father, you pray for others that we might be able to teach. Bring them our way. Show us. Help us, Father, to be able to help others in their walk, in their Christian faith. In Jesus' name.
Amen. All right. You are dismissed. Thank you once again.